From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 9th day of August 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. The state statisticians will join us for updates of their regions and crop conditions there. And then we'll discuss growing degree days with Emerson Nafziger, Extension Agronomist, from right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. As we close out our time together, we'll discuss the weather forecast not only for here, but China as well. That with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago for a Tuesday, corn futures finished three lower at $3.22 and a quarter in the September, December down 2 and a quarter at $3.32 and a half, and the March corn down 2 cents at $3.43. August soybeans were up 3 and a quarter at $10.22, September at $10.05 up 3 and 3 quarters, and November beans up 3 cents for the day. Soft red winter wheat in the July contract a half higher at $4.79. Beans have been leading the marketplace, says Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, and it's all about the exports.
The export sales continue to roll in on the beans 10 days in a row with a large enough sale that it had to be announced daily. And I think that a lot of people are looking that that will reduce the carry-in and have a little oomph in the beans today. And the bean oil, of course, helped pull things up for a while, but we really backed off at the close.
I take it this is all because of the short supply out of South America?
You know, CONAB did come out, their bean production, they lowered it 0.8% down to 95.4 million metric tons. The U.S. last report was at 96.5, and they dropped the corn quite a bit here, down to 68.5, and the government was at 70 million metric tons in the last report. And, you know, that's one thing that could be helping the beans a little bit, too, because the bean or the corn basis and looking for what it is in South America might highly encourage some of the acres going to corn next year.
All right. So what do you make of it all, and producers who are looking out across the bean crop? And in particular, maybe you could talk a little bit about your area or two of the South, because I think there may be some troubles in Indiana.
There's definitely some troubled areas as we go more towards the northeast corner, especially as where we know where some of the trouble is. There's one of the other insurance agents that I know quite well called me yesterday and says, hey, I'm getting reports guys want me to come check their fields. And anywhere from 110 to 160 was a lot of the yields up his way. You know, down south, we've got some, there has been some too much water in a few places and like that, but the injury place for Indiana is sort of the northeast corner. Around here, we're still looking very good. A lot of talk. There's been a couple of guys have been out and saying they look back on years, analog years, where we did better than trend line yields, and every one of them had a cool July. And if we remember what ours is doing, it was a warm July. And it was one of the warmest on record. So there's still a lot of people trying to talk that as it is. But basically in our area, if we can get that rain that's forecast for the weekend here along the way, why I think we're going to be very, very good shape here in central Indiana. If you're down south, they're looking for some pretty heavy rains. I know that Arkansas is looking for some big rains here coming into the weekend and next week. And I guess Florida's had about 10 inches, and they were going to get sandbags down there. One of my customers called me. So they'd had 10 inches, and it was still raining.
Did I see basis levels in particular for corn remain really strong in your area? You're still short of corn supply.
Yeah, I mean, basically, we're basically run out of corn. There's still some corn around here, but in general, we're going to be in pretty good shape coming into the fall. Our bins aren't, you know, we aren't going to be flooding the market, emptying our bins at that time. I think that most everybody is orderly marketed, and we've got some very good basis levels over here.
Out in the Crawfordsville, Indiana area, any expectations for the USDA reports on Friday?
Well, I think that we'll see some increases. I don't know that they're going to be crazy. I think they're going to be more like the average guess. I think that the government won't push it much above the 170 mark as far as the corn is concerned. You know, in the beans, I think the 47 47.5 bushel yields will be as high as they'll want to go on this one. The big question is going to be is how much will they cut the carryout in the beans because of all the export sales we've seen over the last 10 days and the pattern that's developing here, and what will they do with the carryout or the carry-in as far as the corn crop goes that way. And I think that's going to be the big thing that's going to be pushing it. I think the rain and what we're looking at here, if the forecasts hold true, why it's going to, our crop rains are going to continue to stay high.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows that 97% of the corn crop is silked, 53% is in the dough stage, and for the first time this year, it reported the dent stage, 9%, now considered to be dented. That compares to the rolling five-year average of 12% across the 18 reporting states, 54% of the crop in good condition, 20% excellent. That's slightly down from the 56 and 20% of the previous week, so dropping from 76% good to excellent to 74% good to excellent. On the soybean, 69% of that crop is setting pods. It's ahead of the rolling five-year average of 61%. It's said to be in 55% good condition, 17% excellent. That's the same when categorized together as last week, but frankly, it's a little bit better again, 56% good last week and 16% excellent. So moved one of those percentage points from the good to excellent category for this week. Now, here are the updates from the state statisticians across the Midwest.
This is Doug Hartwig, Deputy Director for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Scattered precipitation throughout the week allowed Iowa farmers 5.1 days suitable for fieldwork. Activities for the week included cutting hay and fungicide and insecticide applications. South Central and Southeast Iowa reported the lowest levels of subsoil moisture supplies, with over 25% rated short to very short. 98% of the corn crop reached the silking stage, that's 11 days ahead of the five-year average, and 61% reached the dough stage, that's 5 days ahead of last year and 9 days ahead of the average. 7% of the Iowa's corn crop reached the dent stage. Corn condition was rated 83% good to excellent. Soybeans blooming reached 94%, 6 days ahead of the previous year, and 79% of the soybeans were setting pods, 1 week ahead of the average. Soybean condition rated 82% good to excellent. 90% of the oat crop for grain or seed has been harvested. The second cutting of alfalfa had reached 97% complete, more than 2 weeks ahead of last year and 9 days ahead of the average. This is the Iowa Weekly Crop Progress and Condition Report for the week ending August 7, 2016. I'm Doug Hartwig, Deputy Director for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Upper Midwest Region.
This is Brad Summa, Director of the Heartland Regional Office. I'm reporting on the Illinois Crop Progress and Condition for the week ending Sunday, August 7th. Crops continue to benefit from favorable weather, with many reports of timely rain showers across the state. Major activities include cutting hay, mowing pastures, and spraying for insects. Precipitation averaged 0.86 inches or 0.04 inches below normal. For the corn crop, corn in the dough stage reached 60%, up 22% from a week ago and compared to 61% last year. Corn dented was at 6% compared to 17% for the five-year average. Corn condition was rated 3% very poor to poor, 14% fair, 57% good, and 26% excellent. For the soybean crop, soybeans blooming was at 91% compared to 87% last year. Soybean setting pods reached 68%, up 17% from last week and compared to 66% for the five-year average. Soybean condition was rated 5% very poor to poor, 16% fair, 58% good, and 21% excellent. Again, this has been Brad Summit with the Heartland Regional Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in St. Louis, Missouri, reporting on the Illinois crop progress and conditions.
This is Dan Loftus, State Statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with a weekly crop progress and condition report for the week ending August 7, 2016. Minnesota farmers made substantial progress on small grain harvest during the week, as there were 5.3 days rated suitable for field work. Other field activities included baling hay and scouting and spraying for aphids. 54% of Minnesota's corn acreage was in or beyond the doe stage. That's 9 days ahead of the 5-year average and 3 days ahead of last year. Corn condition rated 85% good to excellent. 79% of the soybean crop was setting pods. That's 6 days ahead of average, but 4 days behind last year. Soybean condition rated 80% good to excellent. 42% of the spring wheat acreage had been harvested. That's 8 days ahead of the 5-year average. Spring wheat condition rated 70% good to excellent. That's up 1 percentage point from last week. The second cutting of alfalfa hay was 92% complete, and the third cutting of alfalfa hay was 49% complete. That's 8 days ahead of last year. The all hay condition rated 81% good to excellent. Pasture conditions were rated at 76% good to excellent. That's down 4 percentage points from the previous week. With temperatures around average, livestock were described as being in good condition. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Jessica Lemonager with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service. Hot temperatures combined with little to no rainfall has left corn and soybeans stressed for moisture. The statewide average temperature for the week was 76.6 degrees, 3.7 degrees above normal. Recorded precipitation ranged from 0 to 2.04 inches, with a statewide average of 0.35 inches. Corn dough was 49% complete, compared to 38% last year and 41% 5-year average. Corn dented was 10% complete, compared to 3% last year and 8% 5-year average. Corn rated in good to excellent condition was 73% in the north, 79% in central, and 66% in the south. Non-irrigated corn has continued to exhibit stalk firing, and more leaves have curled from the lack of moisture. In some areas, the lower leaves have dropped from the plant. Stands growing in sandy soils have been more affected by the dry weather. Soybeans blooming were 90% complete, compared to 87% last year and 89% 5-year average. Soybean setting pods were 66% complete, compared to 68% last year and 62% 5-year average. Soybeans rated in good to excellent condition were 74% in the north, 78% in central, and 65% in the south. Some soybeans have aborted blossoms from moisture stress in drier areas. Growers expressed concerns about the crop given that this is the critical stage for proper bean development and plants have not received adequate moisture. Insect and disease pressures, however, have been relatively low due to dry and hot weather. Mint, potato, tomato, watermelon, cantaloupe, and sweet corn harvest is well underway. Other activities for the week included applying fungicides, hauling grain, mowing roadsides, and attending the Indiana State Fair. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending August 7th, 2016. This is Jessica Lemonager reporting.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians at USDA NAS for their weekly crop progress updates. Don't forget, you can always hear those again on our website if you'd like at willag.org, willag.org. You may have made note throughout the season that the corn crop in Minnesota has been ahead of schedule. It got in the ground early, and the growing degree days have piled up pretty quickly. I wondered what the impact on that crop, and the corn crop across the whole of the Midwest, might be, in fact, as the maturity of the crop is fast approaching, maybe in 4 or 5 weeks, as Emerson Nafziger told us yesterday. I asked him just that question when I talked to him last Friday.
A week ahead is not a very precise measure. A week in the spring or a week in the fall is way different than a week in the middle of the summer. If we're ahead of what the crop would normally would be at this time, if we're ahead by 100 or 200 growing degree days, that's how we really track corn, and that's the one we pay attention to. That's a pretty big deal because being ahead at this point in time, due to both early planting and warmer than normal temperatures, and we're not very far ahead in Illinois of what normal would be. Our growing degree days since the 1st of May have actually tracked pretty close to average. We planted early, so we're a little bit ahead of that. And we're above 2,000 growing degree days for a lot of our crop now. And the hybrids that we grow typically need about 2,700. So 700 growing degree days, or right now we're probably down to needing 500 to 600 in some of our earliest planted fields. You know, that's a month's worth, and so we're in good shape. If you get into the northern corn belt where frost comes earlier, being ahead is probably even a little bit better deal, and that the concerns about frost with a crop like the crop this year just pretty much evaporate. When we're ahead of normal in time, in pollination time, we're pretty safe with that. With this crop, most of this crop is going to be physiologically mature, certainly by the middle of September. And, that would be a very, very early frost indeed. Soybeans might be a little bit more concerned, but they tend to respond in less predictable ways to the weather that we get. And if we get a cool spell in September, sometimes it seems to trigger color change in soybeans, and they can come to a stop fairly quickly. They actually did that last year and kind of surprised us. But it's that one we don't understand quite as well, what it is that triggers those. We do know that soybeans aren't starting to. They're not podding particularly early. And so the corn, once it gets ahead in the game with growing degree days, it pretty much stays ahead unless we get cooler than average temperatures. If it returned a little bit cooler than average for the rest of August, the corn crop would thank us. The soybean, maybe not so much, but that really wouldn't endanger either one. And a little bit cooler probably extends the filling period a little bit and might be good for yields, particularly for the corn crop.
That's Emerson Nafziger, Extension Agronomist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I spoke with him last Friday. You can hear the whole of our conversation online at WILLAG.org. In this part of the conversation, we took up growing degree days and how quickly they've been piling up, what it means in the middle of the growing season when we're a week ahead, how that impacts maturity of the crop, and the potential for a frost to damage it as we head into the harvest season. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Coming up, we'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast. That'll be in just about 2 minutes with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Tuesday afternoon, the 9th day of August. Don Day joins us from Day Weather. He's in Cheyenne, Wyoming. A beautiful day here. How about in your part of the world today, Don?
Well, pretty much we're calling this the average August so far, and that's really how things are panning out across many parts of the country, especially from the Rockies east into the Midwest.
Tell me about the next week here in the Midwest, and once you get done with that, turn your attention to the southeast. I'd like to hear about those dry conditions there.
What we have is a pattern that appears to just be repeating itself. We have about 4 or 5 days where temperatures are warming up. It gets a little bit muggy and hot, and then we seem to be seeing cool fronts coming through at the latter half of the weeks, in the last 3 weeks, and we're going to see that again this week. And that'll drive yet another cool front through the northern plain states and into the Midwestern Corn Belt. And we'll see that as we get on into the Thursday, Friday, Saturday time frame. And shower and thunderstorm activity, cooler temperatures will come on in. And it does look like this alternating period of warm, muggy, then cooler with showers and thunderstorms. We'll see that this week. We're going to probably see that pattern next week as well. And it all ends up, when you add up all the numbers, is that we end up with conditions that are very close to average.
And then for the southeast, I've made note that drought conditions are pretty wide in some of the states, and they're sneaking further to the north. Indiana, in particular, this week in their weekly crop progress report, suggested that dry conditions there were beginning to take their toll on the crop. What can you tell me about the conditions across that part of the world?
Yeah, without a doubt, Indiana, portions of Ohio, especially the northern and central portions of both of those states, the eastern Corn Belt, has not benefited from these systems coming in out of the northern plain states, not nearly as much as the western areas of the Corn Belt. And we certainly are concerned that that is an area that is likely going to be looking at some drier conditions relative to other areas. Now, in the next week, I do see portions of Indiana and Ohio getting some rain, especially the coming next 5 to 7 days. After that, it does look like they may go back to drier conditions again. The southeastern states, certainly there's going to be some concern with some dry areas in the Carolinas, dry areas down in Georgia, portions of Florida as well, although there's going to be some, at least along the Gulf Coast, some better chances of rain.
At this time of year, we like to keep track of what's been happening in other parts of the Northern Hemisphere, in particular with China. Their growing season has been like what, in your opinion?
Nothing extraordinary. It's been a lot like the weather across the United States. Yes, there's some dry pockets, there's some wet pockets, but really nothing that's rocking the boat. And the next 10 days for China is looking at near to slightly above average precipitation in many of the key growing areas. The areas in China that are going to be a little bit drier, more favoring into the northern and eastern areas, while the central and the southwest looks to have some frequent chances for precipitation. So right now, I think they're headed towards the tail end of their season with really no big surprises.
Always good to talk with you, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon. Check us out anytime you'd like on our website. The address there is WILLAG.org. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.